It will be in chapter 13. See, it's the week of... Well, it's actually the week after, I guess, huh? The week after the Love Day. The Valentine's Day. Anyways, let's pray. We're in chapter 12 still there, verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 12. So let's pray and give it to the Lord. Father, we thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you that your word, like Jackie so well said, Lord, that your word goes out and it doesn't return void, Lord, but that it, you know, penetrates even through into our weakest points, Lord, our hardest ground, you know, and we just ask you to plow the fields today, Lord, and help us, Lord, to see your ways and give us direction, Lord, and in all things. So we just ask for you to be apparent in our midst here today. You are in our midst, Lord. Whether we feel it or not, Lord, you are here with us. So we thank you for that and ask you, Lord, to speak to each one of our hearts where we're at. Lord, may you receive the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So wonderfully fit the psalm and the praise and worship through song today, that it fit so well together, and it wasn't even planned by us, it was planned by the Lord. It's so good to give Him praise for that, because so many times we want to get our fingers in it, we want to orchestrate as God. You know, we want things to go right, so sometimes we play a little bit into it. Not to say we shouldn't be calm and be prepared, right? But there's times when God just works and He does this marvelous thing in our midst, and it's nice to sit back and go, wow, Lord, you put worship all together with those songs. It was so fitting with that, with the psalm that we read, and then the songs that we sang, and it's just knowing that God is in every bit of fabric that we have here. And so it is good. So we left off, we ended with verse 14. So I want to read through the rest of the scriptures here, including verse 14. So we'll just pick up there. It says, "For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again, the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow great honor. And our unpresentable parts have great modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composes the body, having given great honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care of one another. And if one another suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. You know, I think that every believer should earnestly desire the best gifts, because the best gifts given to the right person brings about the best praise. And you know, when we think about the praise that we give the Lord, I think that matters. You know, if we have the best gifts from the Lord, certainly, you know, not something necessarily. You know, yeah, we can desire the different gifts, of course, but we're willing, when He gives us that specific gift, we're willing to say thank you. We're willing to praise Him for it. So the gifts, I think somebody said it this morning, I think Adam said it maybe, is that gifts, right? They're brought together, or maybe Bob said it, but gifts are meant to unite, not to divide, right? I think you mentioned it in your prayer this morning, right? And see, I do listen when people pray. But I think that's what it's for, right? Gifts are meant to bring together, that bringing together, uniting the body of Christ. So we have here in one body, many members. Some within the body of Christ, we know it says there in 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not a eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Can we make those decisions, in other words, the separate members of the body of Christ? Can we make that distinction and say, because we're not something, we're not of the body of Christ? And so sometimes within the body of Christ, there is this feeling of less importance because we have been handed a different gift from the Lord, perhaps. And we feel this inferiority complex that drives us, right? Like, hey, you know, I can't get up in front of people and talk. Therefore, I'm a lesser. You're no lesser than someone that can, right? So certainly the scriptures here say you don't get to choose. You don't get to choose if you're part of the body of Christ. That's God's doing, and He implements the gifts accordingly. And I think once when we get through this, we'll realize that the gifts aren't for us. The gifts are for the giver. The gifts in this case, God gives them to us so the church functions correctly, so that it pleases the Lord. He gives us gifts so that we come together, right? That we encourage you and you encourage me and so forth, right? Those gifts are applied in such a way that they're not necessarily just for me. You know, I get to share. Right? And so that's the thing, is that I think once we come to the conclusion here, we'll find out that all this is for the glory and praise and honor of our God. And so, you know, in verse 17 it says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? This kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Why can't we apply this to the body of Christ? Right? Why can't we see this? That's why God writes the scriptures, so that it makes sense. Right? You know, if an eye And eye can't hear. Right? An ear can't smell. And a nose, it can't see. And within, you know, that structure, that we need those things. Right? We need to be able to smell. We need to be able to see. We need to be able to hear. Them senses, you know. You know, I think about my hands being able to feel. You know, it's something that we need, don't we? Noah learned this week at somebody's house. I won't disclose whose house it is. As I was having him do a little cleaning, because we were going to set some footers of a wall, and needed to have all that garbage cleaned out of there. So he was reaching down there and so forth. He's just getting some loose dust and so forth. And then all of a sudden I hear this, oh. He had squeezed a little guy that was dead in there. I said, oh, come on, you're big enough to handle that guy. He's dead anyways, right? But he needed that touch, right? He needed that feeling there. 18, and now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. God, the Creator of the universe, took and put you where He put you, within the body of Christ. It's not accidental. You didn't, like Adam was alluding to, right? There wasn't this big bang and you happened to land in these pews, right? It wasn't one of those things. God placed you within the body of Christ in this particular place. You look around, how did I ever get here? From California to it's a nice, warm, balmy, 18-degree Elmira. How did I get here? Well, it wasn't by chance. God put you here. Right? He placed you right in our midst, and we're so happy that He did, really. I get somebody to pick on once in a while, you know. Hey, I get to use my gift, you know, my gift of discouragement. No, I'm just kidding. For Steve. But I think of our position within the body of Christ, and you know why we're here. We're here because it pleases God. It pleases Him, right? In verse 17, it says there. I'm sorry, 18, it says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. He set them there with the appropriate gifting, and he did it. It was for His pleasure. And so, no matter how we're feeling today, you know, we get into these touchy-feely kind of feelings, this soft stuff, I would call it. No matter how you're feeling today, God had pleasure putting you where you're sitting today. Verse 19, and he says, and if they were all one members, meaning if, you know, say they were just an eye, right? Where would they be? Where would they be? If everybody was an eye, if all the different members of the body was an eye, where would they be? They could see. They could see afar off, but could they ever get there? They could never get there. Because they're just one big eye, you know? And so the makeup of the body, and the makeup is to achieve a whole, not a part. Right? It's to achieve, you know, to take a congregation, to take a group of people that are much, much different than each other, and to combine them and have one body. Right? But now indeed there are many members, yet there's one body. It says, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. There's one member couldn't say to another that one was more useful than the other. One can't determine that. See, that's already been predetermined, and that's something that God has done. We have no say in that. We don't have an opinion upon that. An eye without a hand, right? The body would only be able to see, but never touch. You know? A head without feet, the head would be able to think something, but never be able to advance it, right? Would never be able to stand, right? You can't just be a head, okay? Just can't be a head. Really, this determination here, can one say that they don't have a need for someone that God has put in their midst? It really comes out, you know, Paul's really addressing this pride issue of man, right? Remember, God has, and that can go both ways of the street, I think, you know, both sides of the street here. One says, I am not needed. That can be a prideful thing. I'm not needed within the body of Christ. Other says, I don't need you. That can be a pride issue, right? And the other position, which is what the position I think we ought to take, is we're satisfied with what God has put in our midst. We're satisfied that this became God's pleasure. This was God's pleasure, and we're satisfied with this. So I think both ends of the spectrum needs to be corrected. The inferiority kind of complex and the superiority complex. I think we both need to correct those. And it's important that we do. Verse 22, no. Much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. I think there's a lot of hope in this verse. You know? Because I think if we're very, very honest with ourselves, we've all been in this position where we think that we don't matter. Not just in the body of Christ, but in life in general, people struggle with this. What's my purpose of being here, right? We just saw in the news this week. I think it was Jeremy, Bob, you would know, he's a baseball player and he played for the Yankees. Giambi. He played for. Yeah, he played. He committed suicide this week. 47 years old. You know, just he was a great talent, right? Had everything, yet questioned his purpose for living. Right. So I think this brings great hope here. God brings great hope in this chapter. To those that think that they are lower in stature than maybe somebody else within the body of Christ. That's, you know. So some might sit before us and say, well, my absence from the body wouldn't matter too much. That it's not crucial. Not being in our midst here is not crucial. Let me tell you what that is. That's from the pit of hell. That's a lie from the enemy, keeping you out of fellowship with the saints. That's the truth. That's what it is. Because God wouldn't talk about unity within the body if it wasn't so important. We get so distracted by our feelings, by our ailments, by life's circumstances, that all of a sudden we can exempt ourselves from the body of Christ and think that it doesn't matter. That there's no need for me here. What do I have to offer? They got Pastor Fred. He'll teach them. Remember, it says, don't forsake the fellowship of the saints, not saint. Right? So we should make sure that when we get those thoughts that we're less than what God has in His pleasure put in our midst. We need to rebuke those thoughts. We need to ask the Lord to change our minds on those things. I think it's crucial. I've heard people get to a ripe old age and they say, well, you know, I'm retired. You know, retirement is not mentioned in Scripture. The only time it's mentioned is at the end of somebody's life. Really, I mean, it's never mentioned word-wise. But from a, you know, standpoint of, okay, that guy's retired. Boom. He's dead, right? We know that. So it's never a time of, well, I'm just going to sit on the sidelines as a Christian within the body of Christ. I'm just going to hang out, you know. Remember, it's for God's pleasure that He put you where He put you. I think that's what we got to remember. You know, we were reading in chapter 4, verse 9 of Deuteronomy about, you know, as Moses was confronting the generation that was going into the promised land, right? It says, only heed to yourself and be diligent to keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest you have departed from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and to your grandchildren. So when I think of, you know, sometimes when you become a new parent, you're like, okay, I got to teach my kids about the Lord and stuff. We're all into that. When we become grandparents, guess what? We're all into it again. We're like, hey, we got to teach our grandchildren. It's never a time to stall out, is it? As a Christian. Matter of fact, I think as we get older, the more responsible we are. We have more responsibilities. We've got our kids, and we got our kids' kids. And if they have more kids, then we have kids' kids' kids. We keep going on. All of a sudden, we've got all the responsibility. Because we're older. Why do you think God gives us more responsibility as we get older? Because we've seen some things. We get to be wiser. Right? Hopefully. As we get older. So it doesn't decrease. It goes on in verse 23 and he says, those members of the body which we think are less honorable, on these we bestow great honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. So this greater honor. So as we see these things that are what seem to be lesser, we actually would give them, God says, we give them greater honor. And you know, the example that I reached for this week was my finger. I didn't know how important it was until I drove my driver through it about a week ago, and it really, as Mariah would say, it really hurt me bad. You know, she always says L-E on the end of her words, so. It really hurt me bad. And it really bled me bad, too. And Dr. Noah fixed me up, though. And we went on, you know. But I think about that, you know, and I think about, you know, and I, this is always called our pointer finger, right? I didn't miss it because of that, because I get to point at people, right? I missed it because it's really my trigger finger. And when I'm putting a screw in, I take this finger and I trigger my drill and I put the screw in. The reason why I hurt it, I was using this trigger finger and I'm not used to using my right hand. So I, you know, to me my right hand is my wrong hand in a lot of ways. And I was holding the screw, and I happened to slip off the screw, and the drill went through my finger. And it was very hurtly. And I forgot how much I really needed this baby, you know, until the next time I got it all bandaged up. I went to put in a, and I went like this, and I found out right away after it hurtly, right, that I wasn't going to do that again. So I was like this all week, you know, with my fingers stuck out. And every once in a while, I'd whack it on something. God would remind me, that little member there is pretty important to that hand, isn't it? You know, we think the hand is really something, don't we? Till somebody hurts one of our fingers. And we think, gee, you know, I never noticed that thing there before. But I always used it. So sometimes until we see great suffering, will we not take notice? Right? And we can do that with people. We can do that with the body of Christ. We don't necessarily notice the quiet ones sometimes. But as the body of Christ, once that quiet one isn't here anymore, all of a sudden we've noticed, haven't we? The unpresentable parts. They can't be seen. It says there, with great modesty. It means to give them over and above that of eternal beauty. These are those that are conspicuously clothed or hidden, in a sense. When we think of our bodies, right, we think of our arms and our legs and our head and our eyes and maybe our ears and our nose and our mouth, because we use that a lot. We think of them as the important ones, right? But we forget that there's a heart back here that's pumping. There's these lungs that are breathing, right? And we forget that we've got this thing called blood running through, this fluid blood that keeps life in us. Don't we? So we drive a driver through our finger, and then we find out it's there, right? We find out those things. They're kind of uncovered in a sense, right? Usually you don't worry about your heart unless you have an issue, right? How many of us been thinking about our pancreas today? Not many of us. But the day my mother got diagnosed with cancer in her pancreas, I started to see it a little bit more vividly. Right? Those things that are covered, they're important things. Right? I remember in the body of Christ, we had a gentleman that went here, Bob Sosnowski, and some of you remember him. Bob used to come by, and he used to park out here, and he was retired from the world. Right? But he used to park out here, and then he used to do lawn work, and he used to pluck weeds out of the flowers, and he used to come in the building and do a few things and so forth. When Bob passed away, the weeds grew. The flowers didn't get tended. You know, that kind of thing. You start to see these things. That is what happens in the body of Christ. When, in a sense, those things that are seemingly not very important don't take place. You start to notice those things. But God knows. God knows these folks that are hidden, that are unglamorous, that might even be you in the body of Christ. Right? He knows. And then in verse 24, it talks about the presentable parts. Have no need. They don't have to. You don't have to disclose them, right? Those are those within the body of Christ that it's obvious. They have this gift, man. Right? Noah has this gift of voice and playing music, right? He has that gift that God's given him. You don't have to necessarily go, gee, can you unhide that, right? It's presentable. It's there. But for some of us, He's given us gifts that aren't so out there, you know, so out there. So there's no reason to honor that one with, you know, disclosing them or whatever. It's obvious. You know, I understand the usefulness of a hand. I recognize its importance. God recognizes the importance of each part of the body, even those things that seemingly are lacking, you know. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. You know, so he brings up schism here because I think it's a normal reaction to pride, which is very very foundational for the human being. You know, that we're very prideful, and when pride exists, the function of the body isn't quite the same. You know, this not this unifying thing going on with the body of Christ, and what happens is that the less get treated as less. And the ones that are on the pedestal get treated as if they're on a pedestal, and so forth. And so pride drives that, and it drives schism within the church. And, you know, Paul mentions that as a sign to us that we're not in the right place as a body if that starts to happen. That we start to elevate somebody else above another person. We never want to do that here. He says, but that the members should have the same care for one another. You know, we shouldn't be looking for the James and John's thing where they wanted to be proclaimed the greatest. We want to be actually elevating other people above ourselves. We want to be encouraging others in the midst of the body. We definitely don't need those in the congregation who fly about the congregation just causing problems, causing mischief, you know, and that's what causes the schisms within the churches. So, you know, I was reading this piece on what Spurgeon said. He says, I want every member of the church to be a worker. I want them to be a worker. We don't want any drones. This is back in before the days of drones, you know, but we don't want any drones. If there are any of you who want to eat and drink and do nothing, there are plenty of places elsewhere. He's a pretty bold guy, you know. A lot of pastors wouldn't say that. They'd say, okay, we'll just keep feeding them because they're coming. No, he wanted a profitable church. He wanted a unified church. He didn't want somebody in there just stirring the pot. By the way, we've had people, they're not here right now, fortunately, but we've had people come through. That's what their gift was. It wasn't a God-given gift. It was a pride-given gift. And they just stirred the pot. There are, he says elsewhere, where you can do it. There are empty pews about in abundance. Go and fill them. For we do not want you. Every Christian who is not a bee is a wasp. The most quarrelsome persons are the most useless. And they who are the most happy, are peaceable, are generally those who are doing most for Christ. So, that's something Spurgeon said. What should happen in the body of Christ is that we should care for one another. Now, there's a difference between caring and coddling. Some people think we ought to coddle. I am not of that understanding. I think we should care for people. And sometimes that's tough, right? It gets down to it that sometimes we say things that are hard to take because they're Scripture, right? Sometimes it's offensive. It can be offensive. But let the Word of God be offensive, not you, right? Sometimes we do need to rebuke people, but it needs to be in gentleness. Right? There's a way to go about it. It's not Fred's way. Fred's way of rebuke is not gentleness. But the Spirit of God's way of rebuke is gentleness. See, I just want to yell at somebody. I just want to tell them they better shape up or ship out, kind of thing, right? God's way of doing it is much different than mine. My humanness wants to do it abruptly. I want to get the message across. But God's Spirit within us should always provide us with that gentle, calm way, kind way of rebuking somebody. That in itself is caring for somebody. If we rebuke a brother in love, we do him good, you know. But sometimes people they have physical ailments, they have mental ailments. We need to take care of them. We need to love on them. Right? Sometimes there's people within the body of Christ, they just need a lifter upper. They needed someone to encourage them. Sometimes they just need a hug. Right? You know, the parts of the body is to serve the rest of the body. When we look at ourselves and we're part of the body doesn't, we shouldn't look at it as the body serving us. We should say that we're going to serve the body. Right? The eye sees for the rest of the body. The ear hears for the sake of the body. The hand receives blessing for the sake of the body. The feet allows the body to move. It's for the sake of the body. The heart pumps for the survival of the body. Right? We nurture the soul of man with the Word of God for the sake of the body. Because it unifies us. If the part of the body becomes cancerous, and everybody in this room probably has dealt with cancer, it affects the effectiveness of the body. You know, when my mom had pancreatic cancer, I remember it well because I took her to the doctor and they were looking at the test results with us and told us. You wouldn't believe that she had cancer. She seemed to be in perfect health until a month later when she started to dwindle. Right? And by the grace of God and His wonderful mercy, He took her within 6 months, right, and relieved of her of all that suffering, right, which we often pray for our loved ones for. But she became weak with cancer. She became weaker and weaker and weaker. And you know what that did to her body? It pretty much shut her body down. Her kidneys started to fail. Her liver started to fail. Things start to fail. That is part of the body, right? And it becomes to a point when this cancer bodily takes control, the body is ineffective, isn't it? And I think the same thing is true with the body of Christ. If if we're not careful, we can have this within the body of Christ. And these are those, I think, anyways, this is just my thoughts, in the body of Christ that can become cancerous. Infected with bitterness. Infected with bitterness. Perhaps consumed with envy, wishing that you had somebody else's life. And forgetting that it was the pleasure of God that actually distributed gifts to you so that you would have a pleasurable life. God doesn't cramp our style. He gifts us with His wonderful grace. Those that are cancerous could be overwhelmed with self-pity. They get in such a valley that they just can't work themselves out of it. Blemished with immoral thoughts. Immoral thoughts or even acts. I was thinking on those things that are immoral. Cancerous. Beaten down by the cares of the world. Overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by what's going on in their life. Circumstances or whatnot. Perhaps just downright discouraged. You know, downright discouraged by their present state. But the other portion of the body, the healthy part, right? The healthy part of the body has a responsibility as well. The hand is so extended to these people, right? That find themselves in this. You know, we take an effort as those that are healthy, that are living for Christ. We take an effort to extend our hand. How many times did God, it says in Scripture, that He stretched His hand out to, His outstretched arm to Israel, right? Not just redemption, but to save them from the current situation that they were in. The eyes, they see the suffering and perhaps the eye motivates the mouth and the mouth speaks encouragement into these people's lives. They need, some of these people that I just referred to, they need encouragement into their lives. They need exhortation. Or perhaps the eye sees or the ear hears. It's enough to move the feet and the hands. Maybe to deliver somebody a wonderful meal. Maybe that's what it takes. As Christians, as the body of Christ, I think, as believers, we have to be coherent. Right? We want to be, Lord, give me discernment in this situation. How much do I do and how much don't I do? Have you ever been in that position where you thought to yourself after words saying, I knew something was wrong there. The Lord told me what was wrong there and I didn't do nothing about it. I didn't step out into that. Each one of us, if we're born again today, has the Spirit of God within us. And I'd like to think that every time that I was urged on to maybe reach out to a fellow in Christ, another brother in Christ, that I would do it because the Spirit of God prompted me to do it. And I would blame the Spirit that I did that. You know? But the cancer victim, right? The cancer victims, they have choices too. They have choices too. I remember sitting with my mom and they gave her the diagnosis that it wasn't going to be good and that she would probably have about 6 months to live. And we sat there and we discussed and mom decided that she wasn't going to take the treatment. that the doctors offered. That was her decision. Right? And the same thing with those that are in these type of things in the body of Christ that are just weighing them down, you know. Jesus came to lift them burdens. Right? To take them upon Himself. To trade you. Right? And it's our choice, though. God, am I going to really give it to you, or do I got still a hand in there? Am I going to let you solve the problem, or am I going to still be pulling and tugging at it? We have to make those decisions. The cancer victim must receive the treatment, right? Or they're no longer a victim. They've already decided. Right? They've already decided. They're no longer a victim of cancer. But rather, they become the cancer. See, a lot of times, people in the body of Christ become weak. We all become weak. We all become depressed. We all become this and that, right? Where we're wondering if God still loves us. Or we're wondering if we're valuable to God. We all go through those things. The difference is that we're willing to receive or not to receive. I remember when I first met Karen and I met her parents, and I think they liked me. And I remember going to Karen's house, and I don't know if we did it 10 times, we did it 20 times, but Karen's dad would say to us, "Hey, you want to go get a hamburger?" Right? And so we would go out and get a hamburger, and every time... Now, I was from a poor family, so I knew most of my education, all my education, everything I did from about 16 on was my bill, in a sense. And so I was very used to taking care of this man. And we'd go out to eat, and I couldn't push Nick's hand away enough. He just would pay for everything, and it drove me stinking nuts. Drove me nuts. I'd try to pay, and he'd go... He would have it, right? And I'd be like... And I remember one day I said to him, "Let me pay." And he goes, "Let me pay, because someday I won't be able to pay." Right? And it taught me something, that I wasn't a good receiver. I was a good quarterback, man. You give me a ball, I can throw it to a... But I wasn't a good... I didn't have the hands to receive. And I think sometimes when somebody's trying to help you, just receive it. They're trying to encourage you, let them encourage you. Right? And sometimes I think we just need to be able to do that. I mean, we pray and we pray and we pray for certain individuals, but they refuse to receive. It can be discouraging to the flock. Right? If we continue to pray for you and you don't receive, the Lord might be handing you that wonderful gift and yet you're not receiving it. You know, I think about the man who was in his bedroom. It was on the second story. And then he heard the forecast, and the forecast was flooding, and the flooding was coming, and the flooding was raising. And a guy drove by in a Jeep, and he said, "Hey man, come on down and get you out of here, because you're going to be flooded soon." He said, "Oh no, I have faith in the Lord. The Lord's going to take care of me." You know, a day goes by, and the water's starting to touch his toes, and he's thinking, you know, "Where are you, Lord?" Right? So God sends a boat, and the boat comes along. The guy says, "Why don't you get in the boat? I mean, come on, your feet are wet. Says, oh no, I have faith in the Lord and the Lord will save me. So the next day he's up on the roof. And he's thinking, Lord, where are you? And a helicopter comes along and the guy says, come on, buddy, will you just grab the line? And he says, you know what, I have faith. God will save me. You know, and so, was his soul saved? Of course it was, right? There was no defeat that, even though he died, he drowned, right? There was no defeat there of his soul. But the bottom line is that God was faithful. This man wasn't faithful, even though he thought he was. He never received what God sent for him. And some, when I look at the body of Christ, it is a gift to us. It is a gift to us. You know how many times we just need to have somebody pray for us, and we know that even though this is a, you know, a delicate issue, we can go to our brothers and sisters in Christ, in the body of Christ, and they'll pray for us. But when God answers, are we listening? And when I say listening, I mean, make it practical. Are we receiving from Him? You know? Sometimes I think that there's people praying for an individual more than the individual's praying for the individual. They don't ever want to get out of the second story. If the truth is known, they don't ever want to be there. They're so wrapped up in their self-pity that they want to stay there. And God doesn't want that. God is trying to use the body of Christ to strengthen the individual members. Paul would go on in verse 26 and say, if one member suffers, all the members suffers with it. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt the sorrow, you know, when people are dying of COVID, perhaps, that you knew, and you know, and they're in the body of Christ, or even not, but if they are brothers and sisters, haven't you ever felt like, man, I'm suffering with them? Paul doesn't separate them, does he? He says, if we suffer with them, we rejoice with them. We do both. We have a better time rejoicing, I think, than we do suffering. But sometimes it's, for the body of Christ, sometimes it's setting aside those things that we're involved in that we love to do and the pleasures of this life and go suffer with those people. Go cry with them. Go weep with them. It's good for us. It's good for them. It says, now, you are the body of Christ, the members individually, and God has appointed these to the church. First, apostles. You know, apostles are really special ambassadors of Christ. You know, when we think of the apostles of old, those are the guys, Paul and the team there, that set the foundation, right? That set the foundation. Those apostles don't exist anymore, right? They have set the foundation. These guys that claim to be great apostles of our day, they're as little A as we are. But they're special ambassadors of Christ. And then there's prophets, these secular prophets, those that God is gifted to speak to the church, right? By the way, it doesn't override God's Word. And they have to speak truth. You know, they have to speak truth because we know and we'll soon be there, probably, when I say soon, in a few years, we'll be in Deuteronomy 18. the way I go. But that's okay. The Lord's probably going to come back before then, and we don't have to worry about my teaching anymore. You get the truth. Then you get the entire counsel of God from His mouth. But there they stone the false prophets, so be careful what you're predicting. And then he talks about teachers, of course, the teachers of God's Word. And after that, miracles and gifts of healing. And look at helps. You know, helps is an underrated gift. You know, it's all them things that are covered, that perhaps are hidden, that people do in the midst of the body that are so important. And of course, the administrative gift there. In variety of tongues. And he says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, are all gifts of healing, have gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues and all interpret? And in many churches today, everybody would say yes to that. But really what he's trying to get at here is the reason why he asks those questions is because not everybody speaks in tongues. Not everybody prophesies. Right? His point here is everybody is diverse within the body of Christ. It's the same thing as eye. Everybody can't be the eye. Everybody shouldn't be the ear. Right? So his point here, and really the answer to that question, them questions, are no. God delivers the gift according to His will and plan and His pleasure. That's what it's for. He goes on and says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. So that's our desire, right? That God would distribute among the saints the best gifts for them people. We don't need the gift of tongues if it's not a gift from the Lord. You know. And remember, the devil's a copycat, so he can copy a lot of this stuff. You know. There's many copycats out there. Demonic copycats. And we need to be careful. We need to be careful. We need to be honoring to God, right? But it's good to desire. It's to desire the best for each one. Yet, he says, yet I show you a more excellent way. Meaning there is a way that brings God more pleasure. Really, than any gift. Than any gift within the body of Christ. And, you know, he stalls us here a little bit and says, there's a better way, right? That these gifts have to be manifested out of what comes next. And I think that is the agape love, you know, out of agape love. So we'll get to chapter 13. We should be able to get through the whole chapter within the next year. But I'm going to try to get through it next week. So that was a joke. And I appreciate some laughs once in a while. No, I'm just teasing. Let's pray, huh? Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Thank You for Your many blessings. Thank You for Your Word, Lord. And Father, for showing us Your ways. Father, we earnestly desire those gifts in which You want to give us, Lord, to fulfill the purpose of the body of Christ. Lord, not to elevate any of us or lessen any of us, Lord, but to elevate You, Lord, to give You honor and praise and to just bring You pleasure. So we praise You. We thank You, Father, for all that You do for us. We ask You, Lord, to be honored and glorified in our lives. May we everything we do, Father, be pleasing, not just here, Lord, but outside of here, of course. And may we serve You. May we look to serve the body of Christ in whatever way, Father, You have put upon our hearts, Lord. Them simple encouragements, Lord, those exhortations, those things that would encourage someone, Lord, just to be able to get back into Your Word, Lord. get back to praying even, Lord. So we just ask you, Lord, that you would do a work in our midst this week. Lord, restore anyone that needs to be restored, Lord. And Father, we thank you for your great love. We look forward to looking back into your word next week and give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.